All right, man. Long time no see. What's going on?
Oh, man. Not much. Just, trying to get out into the woods when I can and be at one with the wood, Pat.
Oh, man. I tell you, well, I don't want to get on a tangent, right? But yeah, the woods, like, I don't know if it's a generational thing with kids and their electronics and everything these days. Like, I feel like I was lucky to grow up near some woods, some acreage. I was in the woods constantly.
Yeah, me too.
We've got some woods that our property abuts to that you could play in all day long. My two boys couldn't be less interested in the woods. I'm just like, man, you guys don't know what you're missing out on. So I'm trying to take the little girl out there from an early age to get her into the woods. So we'll see if that works.
No, it's good. It's, busy season for the old CrossFit Games season. And it is nice to have a little bit of a respite from the digital world. So I really appreciate when I do have the time to get out there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the digital shut off is nice. Mm-hmm. Let me say what I traditionally forget to do, which is thanks, everybody. All of you make this possible. So thanks for your support for the show. If you want to keep supporting it, go to variednotrandom.com. Check out all the cycles that we offer. First, strict pull-up, toes to bar, ring muscle-ups, handstand walk, running, barbell stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. Check that out. They're really great. They upload to your BTWB calendar. You can put them in 2 or 3 times a week and greatly improve some area. The other part is, if you're a gym owner, get any kind of fitness community that you are in charge of, you got things you need to take care of. You got to do billing. You've got to manage your gym, class schedules, things of that nature. Got to track some workouts. You used to have to do those on separate platforms. BTWB now has an all-in-one for gym owners that handles all of that in one beautiful platform. So check out btwb.com/all-in-one and you can get more info and get yourself on the wait list or whatever it is. So, okay, that's done. Let's dive in. Another question from the community. This is from Joe R. It says, hello, both of you. Thanks for the podcast. I love listening to you talk about fitness. For context, I've been a coach at a CrossFit affiliate for about 5 years, just past my level 2. Congratulations. Also, I have my RKC-1 qualification as a kettlebell instructor. I know kettlebells are near and dear to your heart here.
True story.
While preparing for the RKC, I predictably got a lot of flack for the quote-unquote American kettlebell swing. Just a debaucherous demon from hell.
How could you? How could you violate that taboo? Everybody knows swings are only to be done to.
That was my injection. That was not Joe's language. I looked it up in the CrossFit Journal to see if there was an explanation. And there is. That an overhead swing moves the same weight through a distance, through more distance than eye level swing. So it requires a higher power output. So far, so good, right? My question is this. There's already a movement that takes the kettlebell from the hike position to overhead. It's the kettlebell snatch. It's performed with a single hand on the bell, but otherwise moves the same weight through the same distance as the American swing. With that in mind, I'd love to hear you talk about why the American swing is such a big deal in CrossFit, but the kettlebell snatch is rarely seen. Thanks again, Joe.
Oh, I love this question. I love so many aspects of this question. We can go down a little history lesson. We can talk about, movement selection. I mean, man, there's just a lot of different ways to go with this. So I'm excited. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, I like this one as well, kind of digging into the whys on some things. And I have, I didn't give Greg a call, before the show and ask him his thoughts, but it was certainly around the campfire for long enough to pick up some information and intimately familiar with the journal and all that good stuff. So I have my ideas, theories, uses, and all of that stuff. But what I didn't have, when you said you've got some history stuff, that kind of sparked my interest. Yeah. So maybe start with that.
Man, it's interesting. I am actually looking at an old RKC kettlebell. I have two of them, one 24 kilo and one 32 kilo. The 24 kilo, I think I probably purchased in 2001, maybe.
Oh, wow. So okay. I didn't know what a kettlebell was.
Yeah, I've had that thing for a long time. It's certainly been a great investment as far as how much money I spent on it and the return of fitness I've gotten out of it over the years. And all that to say is I'm just trying to make the point that I've been following kettlebell stuff for a long time. And I wish I would have had a little more time to prepare. I actually have some of the old Russian kettlebell challenge books
that were
written back in the day. And if memory serves, there was actually a part in the old, like the originals, where it talked about the kettlebell swing, and it talked about explicitly that, hey, once you master the mechanics, you get comfortable swinging to about eye level. There's no reason that you can't extend the height of the swing with a more powerful hip drive until eventually, hey, you could swing all the way overhead. And it was just thrown out there as not such a big deal. And it wasn't until later that there seems to be this weird contentious distinction from something that is a pretty natural progression when you think about it. It's like, okay, I can throw this thing 5 feet. Maybe I'll try to throw it 6 feet next time. And you just keep going with it. So in my mind, yeah, coming from that kind of old school perspective and having read some of those original materials where this just wasn't even a distinction, it's always a little bit baffling to me how people draw lines in the sand around that. Now, I think there's plenty to talk about as to like why that can happen. And I think there's, you know, rigidity of mindset on either side, I think paints the other side in a bad light unnecessarily a lot of times, but there are some kind of good rationales there as well. So I'd like to dig into that in a little bit. But first point I really want to make is like, hey, back when the kettlebell was first really starting to gain renewed traction in the early 2000s, it wasn't a thing. It's just like, yeah, you swing to the height that you are comfortable swinging with the technique that can be consistent. That was it.
Boss, anything which is different is evil and must be killed.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
So, you know, what is really cool is if you had those old journals and things somewhere in there, like you said, it was just like, as you gain competence and capacity, like feel free to extend the range of the swing. If Joe just had a photocopy, that would be so great. And somebody's like, hey, whatever, just brought this. They're like, well, this is from the, like, oh, I actually haven't read that. And it's funny, like that makes sense to me. Before Joe even said it, that he went to the journal and read that, you know, I've heard this question come up before. And now you just, you know, I could almost hear Greg in my mind being like, why are we stopping the swing there? Let's do some more work. Like, let's get that thing overhead. Like, I don't see no harm, no foul. So, you know, what I don't know, which would be interesting, is that phrase that's in there. I don't know if it's actually accurate. Maybe I'm just nerding out, right? Which is the higher power output thing. Because I guess depending upon where you stop, if a Russian swing is roughly half the range of motion, and then you add another half range of motion, you've doubled the range of motion. If it doubles your cycle time, then it's same on the power output. I don't know. Yeah, I don't have the answer to that, quite frankly.
I think going back in the memory banks to the article that he's talking about in the journal, Greg actually ran that experiment and had the numbers written down there. And don't quote me on the math because this is off the cuff, but that was exactly it.
If you swing all the way up, it takes more force, obviously, to get the swing that high. And the cycle time wasn't doubled. It was like 1.25 or something like that. So the argument was you can do a comparable amount of reps and each rep is costing more energy or taking more power to complete. Therefore, it's a much more powerful expression. I think that was his conclusion.
You know, interesting. And, you know, and I don't have a answer other than my own opinion based on nothing, take that for what it's worth, as to why the kettlebell...
I don't think it's nothing at this point, but anyway.
Why the kettlebell swing is far more common than the kettlebell snatch in a lot of CrossFit workouts of the day. And
I don't want to dive into that yet, but I got an answer. But you go ahead.
I've got a guess. Yeah. I would just think if you are looking to expose the masses to a very useful movement, hip drive, the implement, the range of motion, I'm going to be able to get a lot more people doing the kettlebell swing with a far more acceptable level of technique under fatigue, mixed modality, than with the kettlebell snatch. Kettlebell snatch is a fantastic, awesome single arm movement. But if I got a large group that I'm getting people through, I'm going to get a ton of bang for my buck, not maybe everything that the kettlebell snatch would give me, because I think that single arm movement is so beautiful. But as far as like the lion's share of some fitness that I'm going to try to get, I think I'm going to get there with the swing going overhead.
Yeah, I have to disagree wholeheartedly. I think it's just straight up laziness and unwillingness to experiment with the tool. And let me put it to you a different way using the barbell. So, okay, Pat, I have this amazing tool, but it gets pretty complicated. And so the only lift we're going to learn from it is the deadlift, because it's got the most potential for loading and most people can pick it up pretty quickly. But clean and jerk and snatching, that's not for you because it's really complicated. And no, it's certainly not for a mass group experience. Uh-huh. I think that argument doesn't hold up for the barbell, and neither do I think it holds up for the kettlebell. But
so you think that anyway, the single arm kettlebell snatch doesn't really exist on .com due to laziness of the programmer?
Well, yeah, and I would also argue it does. I mean, you can go back in the old annals of the CrossFit workout of the day. You can find maybe not lots of examples, but there's plenty of examples of kettlebell snatches throughout the years being put onto the CrossFit.com main site. There's lots of affiliates that use them. But yeah, I think that, let me go back and kind of paint the picture a little bit more broadly, but why is the kettlebell swing done to an overhead position often demonized from people looking at CrossFit from the outside? Well, because oftentimes people do it terribly and they deserve to be criticized for it. Mm. Their position is really bad overhead. They let their spine get into a really overextended position. They might not have the shoulder flexibility to pull it off. And so they twist and turn to make that difference up somewhere else. And in that case, I agree. It's not a great expression of the movement, but that's not a problem with the movement. That's a problem with the person doing it incorrectly. In the same way that an overhead squat is going to take a lot of work to really refine and make it display in the way that it's supposed to so you can maximize the benefit. That doesn't mean that the movement itself is a problem. It means that you have to pay more attention to the technique to pull it off well. I think the same thing is true with the overhead swing. And I'll also say that I think that a lot of times CrossFitters, this is the product and the double-edged sword of the four-time competition mindset, is that a lot of times that will take precedence over like, okay, I'm going to slow down and just like pay a little bit more attention to my technique. You mm-hmm. are incentivized to really put the pedal to the metal and just get it done no matter what. And I think that's what you see most times that swing workouts come up. They don't actually really look like swings in the traditional sense. They look like a mini squat to a kind of, I don't even know, a two-handed sort of snatch just to get the kettlebell overhead any way that I can. It's not really a swing anymore at that time. And that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but you have to call it what it is. It's something a little bit different than a swing. So, mm-hmm. okay, we take that same kind of thought and say, all right, it's this kind of ultra-competitive mindset that can lead to some weird outcomes. I think it also leads to this limiting of how you expose yourself to certain tools. And we've talked about this in the past. Like a jump rope, for example, I think is a great, great tool that should not be reduced to a double under machine. There are plenty of other things that you can develop with a jump rope that are worth exploring. Now, there's plenty of things that are just goofy circus tricks that don't really have a lot of utility, and you can fall off that cliff. But there's a range between double under only and like goofy stuff that I'm never really going to ever have to learn. I think the same thing is true with almost every tool, to include the kettlebell. So again, let's go back to the barbell. The barbell, right? There's lots of things to learn with the barbell. And you could probably stick to like five or six primary exercises and their derivatives as the bulk of it. So squat, bench, dead, or overhead press, right? Mm-hmm. Clean and jerk snatch. If you use those as the foundation, you're going to be in pretty good shape. There's lots of derivatives around that, and you should be comfortable and learn most of those. Now, there's a whole world of goofy, old-timey strongman movements that you can learn with the barbell, and you can really fall down a rabbit hole with that. I would argue the utility is pretty limited, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't expand, you know, your basic understanding of the tool. I think the same thing is true for the kettlebell. So yeah, I think everybody should be comfortable swinging, snatching, clean and pressing a kettlebell just as much as they would with a dumbbell or a barbell. And I don't think those movements are either A, too hard to learn, or, you know, kind of off the rails enough that they have limited return. There's plenty of kettlebell movements that I would say that's like, dude, it's off the rails. It's not worth your time. But those foundational ones, I personally don't understand why more people aren't more well-versed with them and don't take the time to kind of play around with them.
I'm a big fan of single leg and single arm movements, you know, and I think the kettlebell snatch is a beautiful movement that is, you know, you don't see it quite as frequently as you see other moves. I think that's a very fair assessment. I love that you mentioned also the jump rope being something that like you can do yep. so much more with it as well. You know, as we record this, it is April 25th. So probably come out a couple of days. So I've got the what's today? Thursday. So I've got the linchpin workout for Saturday. I'm called up on my phone here. It's an EMOM, and involved in the EMOM is kettlebell snatching, like 1 minute with the right arm. It's so funny this question came up. I was like, perfect timing. It's a, well, here's the whole, it's a 19 minute EMOM. You're gonna do 4 minutes of work, you get a rest, and you're gonna go through that four different times. But there's a minute of running step single unders with the jump rope, a minute of kettlebell snatching with one arm, just get the reps that you get.
Yep.
V-ups, 10 meter shuttle runs. You take a little rest. When you come back, the running step single unders have changed to double unders. You gotta do a different movement. And now you're gonna snatch with the other arm. You get V-ups, you get shuttle runs. You take a rest. You come back, and now you're going to grab the jump rope, and you're going to do single unders. You've done running step singles,
yep,
double unders, single unders, and now you're going to go to Russian swings. So we're going to work Russian swings in there. And then, you know, it goes through. In the final, actually, minute of jump rope, I just wrote any style. Like, you now do what you want to work your triple unders. You want to go back to the singles, like any style of jump rope. So, again, I would encourage people who like programming and things like that. Like, there's a lot of ways to experiment and work these things into EMOMs, you know, couplets, whatever it happens to be. But that's that single arm kettlebell snatch. I actually think it's a really beautiful movement. And I'm glad that Joe asked about it. And I hope that we see it, you know, pop up every now and then.
Yeah, could not agree more. And again, I think that you can extend that thought experiment to so many things that find their way into CrossFit and kind of get stunted because people look at it as either, oh, it hasn't shown up on the main site in a workout of the day, or the prominent program person that I'm following doesn't use it often, or I don't see it in competition, therefore it's not worth pursuing. I think that mindset is not a good one to fall into. I mean, you know, you pointed out the jump rope we both did. You know, I talked about the barbell a little bit. You could talk about the rings too. I'm looking at the rings hanging in my garage right now. If the only thing that you look at and see when you talk about rings is muscle ups, it's like, man, you are missing such a great world of training application that you could be mining for a lifetime. And again, it doesn't mean that you have to be out there trying to complete a ring routine, but man, there's a lot of utility for some of the basics that you can do with the rings that has nothing to do with the muscle up. And it's worth your time to play around with that stuff. And I think that's true for most pieces of equipment. So you just got to make sure you don't fall off the deep end. And when you're programming, I think that message is the same as well. You know, you can definitely find yourself going through periods where you're like, okay, we've got this really kind of cool technique focused workout. You do that for week after week after week. And before you know it, you're like, wait a minute, we haven't touched any raw intensity in a month. Well, that's not good either, but it's worth your time to just push the boundaries a little bit on that occasionally. And make sure that you remind yourself that, hey, these tools, they all have a ton of utility, and that should be explored, in my opinion.
100%. Well, I hope that helped answer Joe's question and brought peace and harmony to his community and the RKC community.
Yeah. There we go. Mending fences, Pat. Yeah,
that's what we do. That's what we do. So keep the questions coming, everybody. If you've got thoughts on this topic, I know people are passionate about kettlebells, find this episode on the BTWB YouTube channel. Leave your thoughts in the comments. We'll go ahead and check those out. Do you have thoughts for an upcoming topic show? Let us know. Or go to the Varied Not Random Instagram account, leave a comment under a post, or send a direct message there. All of those things filter our way. So much appreciated, everybody. For Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we'll see you next time.